When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Lakers weekend, everyone. Your Lakers weekend is here. The NBA playoffs have arrived. The Lakers first round matchup with the Denver Nuggets is coming right at you. It's Gerald Glassford at you here from Lakers Fast Break Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, wherever you get your podcasts and on radio stations worldwide. Plus also as well, inside sports, fantasy football. Don't forget the NFL draft from L. Rob's neck of the woods right there in Detroit, Michigan. Detroit, Michigan. There you go. Right there. The NFL draft. I was asking him before the show, how many references to 8 Mile and Eminem will you get in the span of a week with the NFL draft? But on inside sports, fantasy football, after it, the fallout, my good friends, the Lardieres, they will come on the show. Maybe Joe Soro as well, if he has time to talk about who are the winners and the losers of the NFL draft are as well. Plus also our good friends, John Costa. He is working hard. He's got a lot of things on his plate. I was talking back and forth if he can make it today. He said, Gerald, I'm so busy. I got a lot of stuff to do. And a lot of that has to do with Lakers Corner and Clutch Talk. So please support him there. Also as well, of course, the Lakerholics. They are trying to pin down a time for tomorrow for a Lakerholic spotlight in the afternoon before the Lakers and the Nuggets, because both, not just Jamie Sweet, but Laker Tom have put out articles. In fact, one of our Twitter followers, Mask Up, he actually said that it was elite journalism, I think, for Laker Tom's latest articles. So if you want to go ahead and check it out today, it is at Lakerholics.com, and they hopefully will be here tomorrow. Plus also as well, of course, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights. Yo, also as well, Empire Jeff TV, Lakers in 5, John McCallion Channel, all these great channels you need to support. And speaking, because you know, Daniel, I will not forget you, my friend. I know you're watching now. Do not forget to go ahead and hit that like, hit that subscribe, share some comments, do whatever you can for us, please, because we need all the help you can get. We're 1527 subscribers strong on YouTube. We're almost at 800 subscribers and followers on Facebook. We need your support wherever it is. YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, I don't care where it is, TikTok. Go ahead and support the Lakers Fast Break when you can, and we will appreciate everything that you can do for us here at the Lakers Fast Break. Blue Magic, what's up? It is NBA playoffs tonight. Of course, as we speak, the play-in games will be finalized, but we'll go ahead and just assume that they're going to get done tonight and be able to map this out with the NBA playoffs. And who better to cover the NBA playoffs and the Lakers and Nuggets than a good friend indeed. He has been with us for years and years and years. One of our original crew from the Lakerholics group. It is, of course, L. Rob, the man, the myth, the legend, indeed. L. Rob, great to have you here. Ready to talk some NBA playoffs with me, my friend, for this weekend.
Absolutely. It's great to be here, Gerald. This is a favorite time of year, heading into the NBA playoffs. What else could you ask for?
This is our Christmas, my friend, if you're an NBA fan, because the heightened sense of urgency is now. Starting with these play-in games where it's win or go home, literally, as we go ahead into the NBA playoffs this weekend. So I want to start. Daniel Berry's already got the predictions going on. All right. He's got the Lakers in 4 already.
Like that.
Lakers in 5 at OKC. Lakers in six over the Suns and Lakers in seven over the Boston. It's like progressing from four, five, six, seven. I see what you're doing there, Daniel. Let's start off with the Lakers and the Nuggets. The Lakers are they moved up to seventh in the West, whereas the Denver Nuggets finished up second in the West. You have the matchups, as we talked about last night on Late Night Lakers Snack Pack, me and Joe Soro. We talked about the various things. We see things a little bit differently. I can't get a good read in regards to this series, my friend. And that may not be such a bad thing, because all year long we thought, okay, the Lakers, they're up and down, good, not good. It was definitively by both Joe, myself, and pretty much everybody in our audience to say, okay, once they meet up against the Nuggets, they're toast. They're done. Well, the way the Lakers played in that 9 out of 10 stretch, the way the Lakers played in their two victories over New Orleans, kind of got us a little bit thinking. And as long as we have a healthier AD, who hopefully have alleviated the back spasms, because that have held them back on Sunday and Tuesday, and if LeBron James can give you the kind of energy throughout the games that you need, you never know, my friend, what can happen with the Lakers and Nuggets.
Absolutely. And D'Lo, you know, had a real big game last game. So, you know, he's going to be the key. If D'Lo can bring it, and if he can get his 18 to 20 points, the Lakers will be, they will be in the series. We will have a very challenging series. And then seeing Gabe out there really has given us some hope too. So his defensive grit in the last game, and really his defensive and court awareness and just being having another high IQ player has really helped. You know, I'm comforted a little bit seeing him out there instead of those minutes going to Dinwiddie. So,
well, the thing is, though, you mentioned, of course, Gabe Vincent, and Gabe Vincent gave us more production and output in one game than he has the entire season. I don't know how much I want to bet on that, but it's nice to see that he has health going into this, and he doesn't have to worry about back-to-back, so he will be eligible unless he gets hurt again. I hope, which we hope not, that he will be eligible for all the games. Again, he gives us a lot of grit. Dinwiddie, I don't want to pass up. I know he gets very aggressive, too aggressive on the offensive end, but he also plays better defense than you could say D'Angelo Russell, for instance. So the Lakers have two guards on the defensive end that may give Jamal Murray, who was to me the key for the Western Conference final victory by the Nuggets, I think they can give him a little bit more problems, a little bit more problems than what was given before in the Western Conference Finals last season.
Yeah, I agree.
At the very least, they have 10 fouls on Jamal Murray.
Yeah, he's going to get his. We just want him to work, and we just want, you know, him to feel us. And last year, really, I don't think he ever really felt the Lakers' presence, so I think Gabe can slide over some of those picks and really make it difficult for him. Just a couple minutes, a couple possessions. And in most of those games, that's all it was a couple possessions here and a couple possessions there. So it bodes well having him back. I'm not as high on Dinwiddie as you are on his defensive play. So we'll see. He's, you know.
Well, I'm not high on his offensive play.
I think the biggest thing with me, the difference between those two, is Gabe's just a very smart player. Mm-hmm. He's got a higher basketball IQ. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to do something crazy, whereas Dinwiddie's going to sometimes drive in and throw it in his body into somebody and look for the foul, you know, and throw his hands up when he don't get it.
Or chuck a three-pointer when...
like he got in the last game, and I think he was first time down. He just shot a deep three, not an open three from the corner or top of the key, but a deep wing three when he was covered. I was like, okay. And in some games, he won't shoot when he's open. So it's like, consistent, you know.
And I was just going to say, Rob, and you noticed he was sat down for the rest of the game because of that.
Yeah, so it was good to see Darvin have a quick hook on him in that game. But you know, he can give us a spark. He's done it a few games too. So I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not totally sour on him. I'm just glad that we have another option.
So I ask you, my friend, again, I think a part of the thing, we talk about LeBron, can he be able to give you the kind of energy throughout a 48-minute period? We talked about that, Joe and I. We also talked about AD. The back spasms really limited him on Tuesday's game, but they were able to get by. We need a healthy AD, obviously, going against Jokic, whether you play him directly on Jokic or not. But I think the key to the series will be, what will the Lakers get out of the rest of the starting lineup? Rui, D'Angelo, and Austin. If they show up and hit consistently from the outside and give you the kind of, I'm not saying defense per se, but if they can match output with whatever firepower the Denver side gives them, I think that makes this a much more competitive series, Elrod.
I would agree. Defensively, we're just looking for effort. D'Lo played better defense down the stretch. He gave more effort. Austin Reeves really worked hard on defense, and he usually had the toughest.
The last 2 months, I agree with you.
Beginning of the season, he was a turnstile. I mean, he just got abused, and it was painful to watch. But, you know, during this last stretch, after the All-Star break, he's been tough. He's not going to be up for any awards for defense, but he's there, and he's making it difficult, you know, as possible. So I'm very satisfied with his defense. Offensively, yes. Out of those three, the one that I'm not worried about is Rui. It seems like Rui's game is going to be consistent. I think Rui, you know, he's going to get his points. He's going to get his touches. They'll leave him open. He'll score. Now, Austin and D'Lo games are a little more up and down. Austin's proven in the playoffs he can come up big. Now it's time for D'Lo. This is it. He got played off the court last year. So this is his chance for redemption. This is his chance to show all the other GMs that he's worth a big contract. So this is a big spotlight for him. And, you know, when you're playing for the Lakers, if you don't come up big in those, you know, some moments, then it's magnified. The negative press is going to be out. The vultures will be out if he doesn't come out and play well.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmos Show and the PCC Multiverse.
People are just losing their minds trying to consume Marvel products right now, and I don't blame them. This is some of the best entertainment you can get on TV and big screen right now.
If something's going to be successful or not, they look at the mentions, they look at the likes, they look at the retweets and the tweets and the subtweets and the tweet tweets, and they look at all of that to say, okay, this is actually going to garner a lot of attention.
Is it going to be enough, though? I think the fish out of water syndrome might be enough for somebody like us, because it's going to be hilarious to watch two stoner kids we saw barely make it through high school now live in a society that they fully don't understand because they've been stuck in a decade and never came out of it.
Facebook stars, not ninja stars, okay? I know how some people take things literally, so don't throw ninja stars at us, but like the Facebook stars, click on those. That's what we want.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmos Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I'm on with my good friend, L. Rob. You can always catch him here at the Lakers Fast Break. It is, of course, our NBA playoff preview. Truly appreciate you joining us. Before we get into any of the other matchups, I want to go ahead and still talk a little bit more about the Lakers again and the Nuggets. It's in the mindset right now as far as the Nuggets. They have the Lakers in the palm of their hands. And why would you not think that as far as the last, I think, 9 in a row that they've beaten the Lakers on? They're very confident. They've already started the smack talk already. Michael Malone's already talked about, the daddy comments and all that he was revived from last year. But
what did he say?
Well, just he's a little bit trying to be a little bit more serious about it, but he's still hinting from what towards he, the famous daddy comments that he alluded to last year and said, we're very confident team going in this one. It's all nice rhetoric now, but as it gets closer and closer to the battle, you know that Michael, the real Michael Malone, will
step, oh yeah,
will step
he won't
out.
Be able to hold back. Yeah,
he won't be able to. So I ask you, my friend, you know, Darvin Ham also came under fire by us and by the Los Angeles media during the course of that series, as well as we felt he was clearly outcoached. What does he have to approach differently this time around? You know, knowing as well on the Denver side, they don't have quite the depth that they did this time last season.
Yeah. So, you know, I think as a whole, you, Joe, John, you guys are a little more critical of Darvin than I am. So I'll just say that last year, yes, he was outcoached, but I mean, what do you want him to do when his starting point guard is giving him 6 points? Or, you know, I mean, it was some things that was, you know, out of his control. I think this game plan was pretty much, we're going to leave Gordon. And if Gordon can beat us, you know, he took AD off of Jokic. That was a good move. Here, Rui kind of banged with Jokic, and AD was coming up for the help. And they was going to, hey, if Gordon can hit some shots. And it seems like every time they needed Gordon to make one of those big plays, he made it. I don't think the strategy is going to be changed this much to this year. Gordon's going to be the guy. You can't give KCP the open shots. You can't leave Michael Porter Jr. So Gordon's going to get some looks. And if Gordon hits his shots, we know Murray's going to get his. You know Joker's going to dominate. So if Gordon's hitting his and Porter's pretty consistent too. What did he go, 10 for 10 the last time we played them?
Yeah.
Something like that. So, I mean, it'll be tough to beat if all of those guys are hitting. KCP, Gordon, we need to have one of those guys not have a good series. And with KCP, it's just a matter of staying up on them. Don't give them open looks and don't let them get started. Gordon is more or less just hoping he's not hitting. But when I think about the domination, they have dominated us. I remember the 86 Lakers. And I remember when we had Houston, you know, we automatically, you know, I started looking ahead to the finals against Boston because we had beaten Houston, I don't know, 9 out of the last 10, 8 out of the last 10, something like that, 4 out of 5 the previous 2 years. And Kareem always had his way with a young the young Twin Towers of Samson and Olajuwon. And, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to take them. We always beat them. No problem. We beat them the first game, I believe. And then what? Get swept the next. It was a gentleman's sweep. They won us. They beat the next four. So just because you've had, and we were defending champs, very confident, very bordering on cocky. Just because you are the champs, just because you dominated a team, doesn't mean it's always going to be that way. So, I get the Lakers. ESPN, I looked on it today. There was 11 zip, 11 writers picked. There's like not one person's going to call for the upset. I mean, come on, guys.
I have not heard anyone, any major media outlet or media, you know, anybody even trying to do the shock value thing.
Yeah.
Select the Lakers, which again.
Can't say I blame. I mean, you know. Lakers haven't given us a reason to believe they can beat this Denver's team. But this isn't last year's Nuggets. You know, we don't know what Braun, we don't know what Watson, what those guys are going to do when the lights shine bright. D'Lo definitely will be played better than last year. And like you say, if LeBron can hold up and just play like he has played, I don't think we need superhuman LeBron. We just need very good LeBron. And we need AD to be a little better than he was and more aggressive than he was last year. So, I'm not afraid of Denver. I'm not confident the Lakers can beat them, but I think they got a realistic shot. Now, if they win one of these first two, then I'll feel a lot better. And I think tomorrow is going to be the best chance.
So your thoughts on a series as far as prediction for this time around, will you say the Lakers will shock the world and pull it off?
Well, I am always overly optimistic, like my good friend Laker Tom. So, yes, I'm going to say the Lakers can pull it off. The Lakers can do it. I've been drinking a lot of purple Kool-Aid the last couple of days, so I'm I'm juiced up now. Let's go. They can pull it off. Why not?
I'm just going to say this.
This is not the 96 Bulls. This is the 87 Lakers. These are the Denver Nuggets. They won one championship. Yes, they have the best player on the court. Yes, they have their combination together is very difficult to beat. But I think with the Lakers, with Reeves and Rui and D'Lo, we have just as much firepower.
If the Lakers can shoot 40%, get the kind of transition that they need and get to the free throw line, they do have a chance, but they have to keep it to a game six. If it goes back to Denver in a game seven, that's asking a lot. And that's asking, I think, a little bit too much for the Lakers. But if you could just get to the point where the Lakers can pull out, get one game in Denver, get two in as far as at home at the Crypt, give up game five, but then come back for a game six at the Crypt and get all the games you can at home. You never know, my friend. It's anybody's ball game. And I think that's the key. If the Lakers can keep it to six, I think they have a chance. If it goes to seven, really seventh game back at Denver will be rough.
I totally agree. And I would say let Joker go crazy. Just do not give KCP and Michael Porter Jr. and those guys open shots. Let the Joker go crazy and just limit his assists the best you can. And, you know, live with Gordon hitting some jumpers if anybody's going to be open. But don't leave KCP and don't leave Porter. And don't let Joker beat you because he's going to get 25 anyway. Don't let him get 12 assists to go with his 25. Make him score 35 and hold him to 4 or 5 assists.
Also, I think if they can get them in foul trouble and have to go to that bench, Peyton Watson has probably been the best of the entire backup crew this season for them, although they've been very hit and miss even by their own standards this season. So if they can actually get to a point where put them in foul trouble, need to bring in the reserves, the Lakers may be able to take advantage of that as well.
Yep, I agree. Just gotta attack the paint. You gotta make Joker work. You gotta, you know, Gordon's an excellent defender and an excellent rim protector. But, you know, get Joker out there in some of those pick and rolls and let's make him work. And then AD, make quick moves and go on and take it to him because he's going to take it to you. So hit first, take it to him.
Well, we'll see. Our reserves, Jackson Hayes. Rolling to the basket, obviously he's been very good as far as that's concerned. Rim protection, again, I've criticized him all year and will continue to do so. I need to see it from him. Adam wants more minutes from him, wants 20 minutes. Again, for me, it's a lot of based on momentum. He comes to the game, if he starts rolling to the basket, gets a couple dunks, yeah, keep him in there 15 to 20 minutes because he can actually be very disruptive. The thing is, though, he has to be aware on pick and rolls. He is exactly the type of big man that gets fooled constantly by Jokic. I am so worried about him looking stupid and goofy on one or two or three of those back cuts or pick and rolls that Jokic does. That's what I'm worried about, my friend. If he can limit that and actually be somewhat of something he hasn't been all season, a rim protector, you never know, my friend. Again, and he makes you pay with some dunks on the other end. Sure, give him the 15 to 20 minutes. And if he can give you productive minutes like that, the Lakers might have a chance.
Yeah, he's not a rim protector, so that's not going
to change. That's the problem. He's 7 feet athletic. Why is he not a rim protector?
The only thing with Jackson is do not give up and ones. Do not just, if you're going to stand up and build a wall, just stand up and build a wall. If they score over you, score over you. But don't make a silly foul. You give up the basket.
Just goaltend. If he's going to goaltend, like he goaltends a lot, that's fine. Yeah. Goaltend, fine. Just don't get.
But we need his energy. We need some offensive rebounds. We need a few rolls and dunks. And
if he could do that,
give him some minutes. And if it's working, then you can give him a few more. But the first game, especially, you got to have short leash with guys because you need to try to go out there and get this one.
I agree, my friend. I agree. But once again, it is L. Rob. Please go ahead and check him out anytime he's here at the Lakers Fast Break. Jamie Sweet says, hard to go zone against Denver.
Jamie Sweet.
Too many shooters. Yes, from Lakerholics.com, but need to mix up the looks. Yeah, we do have to provide different looks for the Denver Nuggets. And of course, when you, like you said, I think a key is Murray. Murray was the key to their success in the Western Conference Finals. Joker's going to get his video game numbers. That's, you're just not going to be able to avoid that. But if you can limit Murray, if you can make him work harder, if the other guys don't shoot as well, you never know, my friend, the Lakers might have a chance.
Yep, I'm sure they'll be pulling out some tricks for Murray. Probably start trapping him and doing things like that in the fourth quarter or something. I don't think they'll come out of the gate doing being that aggressive, but I think they'll save that for late in the game. And then whatever they got up their sleeve, they'll show it to him then.
So, my friend, you have predicted that the Lakers might just shock the world. And again, we'll see. All right, the Lakers right there in six. If they get it to six, if the Lakers win it in six, I think that's a key. Otherwise, if it goes to seven, I think it's going to be hard for the Lakers indeed. But there are other matchups that we should talk about. Let's stay in the Western Conference. Let's start with the tonight's game as far as the play-in is concerned, which includes the New Orleans Pelicans without Zion against the Sacramento Kings. Let's say, well, first off, who do you have in this matchup? Both are missing key elements of their team, my friend. Who do you have in this matchup as far as for getting by tonight? I still think New Orleans at home cannot lose three home games in a row. I think they will take it without Zion. I think Brandon Ingram will get more minutes and get more looks and play a lot better. Your thoughts for tonight's game against Sacramento?
Yes, I agree with you. I think New Orleans will bounce back. I think they'll take it. They're 5-0 against Sacramento this year. Albeit Zion played in four of those games. But I think McCollum will have a big game, and I know Ingram's going to have a bounce back game. And I mean, they just got a really good supporting cast, and those guys will get a few more opportunities. So yeah, I'm expecting them to beat them. We won't be hearing that Keegan Murray tonight. So
no.
Yeah, I look for them to advance. And who right there? Yeah, they'll have to play Oklahoma City.
Okay. And if that's the case, who do you have in a matchup against Oklahoma City? Oklahoma City has been very much discussed, very much, how should I say, I don't want to say they're overlooked for a number one seed, but they are one of the most questioned number one seeds for either conference in quite some time, as far as people overlooking them and bypassing them and forgetting about them for this. So who do you have in a matchup as far as that's concerned, as far as Oklahoma City, and you know, who do you have? I think I'm picking New Orleans, but if Zion's there, I think I would pick New Orleans in the series. But if Zion's not there, I'm picking OKC.
Yeah, I'm going with OKC if Zion's not there. And I don't see how he is there. They had said he'd be out for a few weeks. So yeah, OKC was the one that everyone would say will get bumped out early, especially if it was the Lakers. So I think the Lakers did them a huge favor by beating New Orleans. I think that would have been a nightmare matchup for them, seeing the Lakers on the other side. So yes, I'm going with OKC. I think they, as young as they are, they'll be playing the winner of the Clippers and Dallas. I don't see the Kings, even if the Kings can get by the Pelicans, they will not. I think it's Shai Gilgeous' time. It's their time. They got a good squad, home court, overlooked. Yep, there. I see them prevail.
I think that the NBA fans out there will get an education on SGA and realize how good he is, and because he's been a well-kept secret, even though he will probably finish second or third in the NBA MVP voting coming up here soon. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what take place in a matchup like that. And I think Zion is the key. If Zion can somehow summon up the strength to get that hamstring right, then maybe New Orleans will have a chance. Sacramento, I just don't think they without Monk and without Herder, they're hurting too much to go ahead and have enough firepower for the Oklahoma City Thunder. So definitely looking forward to seeing what's going to go on there and how OKC will take that next step. Also, in a Western Conference, the Timberwolves and the Suns, and a lot of people, based on the matchups, my friend, are thinking Suns because of the big three that they have there. Grayson Allen shooting well from the outside, leading the league in NBA three-point percentage against the big guys, the tall trees of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and Anthony Edwards. Can he take that next step like he did for a good part of this season, getting himself also in MVP discussion? Your thoughts on the 3-6 matchup, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Phoenix Suns?
So the next time Cat has a big game and a big moment will probably be the first time I've seen that for him. Or at least the majority of games I've seen him play when it's truly a pressure situation, he hasn't looked good. So it's hard for me to have confidence in them. And Ant's been pretty up and down. I don't know if he's getting worn down a little bit. He's had some explosive games, and then other games he's come out and not been good. Like the last game against Phoenix. I would have to go with Phoenix. I'd have to give Phoenix a nod, even though they don't have home court. None of those guys over there have shown, other than Conley, Gobert's track record in the playoffs haven't been great. They do have a great home crowd, so they're going to need it. I would have to give Phoenix the nod. I mean, Beal is peaking at just the right time, and KD is going to be consistent. Like you said, they got Allen and of course Booker. Nurk is going to, be very unselfish, setting picks, grabbing rebounds, giving them everything he has. I like Phoenix.
Can't say I blame you, because we have seen with Rudy Gobert, I mean, even before the trade, after trade, but before the trade, especially with Utah, he was always played off the floor each and every playoff series that he's ever been in. And, you have a jump shot team like Phoenix, they're going to try to do the same thing. It's not rocket science, Elrob. You have a guy out there that loves to stay at home in drop coverage. You also have another 7-footer that doesn't want to really go to the outside as far as on the defensive end. He loves to go outside on the offensive end. Of course, that's the self-proclaimed best shooting big man ever, Cat. Again, I think it's going to be how well the Minnesota Timberwolves play perimeter defense, because, if they limit the jump shooting of the Phoenix Suns, they can make life difficult for them. But we'll have to wait and see. I mean, they've got some good perimeter defenders, and Anthony Edwards himself is a good perimeter defender. But again, it all depends on, can you draw out the big man? Can you play him off the floor? Can you play both big guys off the floor if they're not making you pay on the other end, Elrob?
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota will play hard. And like you say, they do have very good perimeter defenders. And they're tough defensively. I'm not worried about their defense. It's just their shot-making ability that I'm questioning. And sometimes their shot selection, their patience, down the stretch. So that's my biggest concern with the T-Wolves. I just don't think they have, Phoenix has more poise. And I think it'll show in those crucial moments. I'll be rooting for the T-Wolves. I mean, I like Vogel. So, I mean, I'm not against him. Booker's not my favorite. I guess the Suns fans overall. I would like to see the T-Wolves. That'd be a nice story. And I like Ant. So that would be nice if they can advance. But, I just would have to give Phoenix the nod.
Okay. Also, as well, another great matchup. The 3-6 matchup, I think, is going to be very intriguing, but a matchup that I know a lot of people have on their plate. If you look in the 4-5 contest right there between the Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks. And I think a key, obviously, is the health of Kawhi Leonard. Is he going to go? Is he not going to go? Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Sure looked okay when he was holding up that Team USA jersey the other day, but amazingly, he wasn't originally one of the announced team members the day that Grant Hill decided. Then all of a sudden, the next day, oh, he is actually on the team. So that was very interesting, to say the least, especially if you're Kyrie Irving, which might provide some incentive for him to play real well in this series. Your thoughts? This is not the same Dallas team that we've seen before. They got a couple trades that they pulled off at the trade deadline, which the Lakers unfortunately didn't, in getting PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford to bolster their front line. They have turned out very well for the Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic has got now more weapons to go into this. They've played better defense in this calendar year. So your thoughts on a matchup, the Clippers, this is not the same team that was rolling all over the league earlier in the year, my friend. This is a different team that's gotten back and forth. It's talked about injuries. We don't know which Harden you're going to see. Just like the Philadelphia series that he was in, where you had a different Harden from one game to the other. Your thoughts on this very intriguing series between the Clippers and the Mavericks?
Oh boy, that truly is a coin flip. It is. That is so hard to call.
Which Kawhi are you going to get? Are you going to get a healthy Kawhi?
I mean, we need to see Kawhi and see how he looks. Oh boy, I cannot trust James Harden in a big game, in a game 6 or game 7. You know, if they can make it a best, you know, maybe 4 games or 5 game series, then James would be okay. When he gets down to those last couple games and he's the guy handling the ball, that is, I mean, they were struggling a little bit at the end until what Ty Lue had to sit Harden for one of those games. And then I think they said he was injured or something that kind of pacify him a little bit. But gun to my head, I probably have to go with the Mavericks. Luka is, you know, I would trust Luka more than I would trust the guys on the Clippers, more than I would trust Jordan. And I think they're scared of Luka, to tell you the truth. When I see them play, I see fear in their eyes against Luka, which is strange for as great as player as Kawhi and Paul George. You know, if Kawhi's checking them and they kind of try to switch him, he readily switches with the guy. It's like, no, you're the best defender. You got the body. Don't switch and force somebody else to guard Luka. And he doesn't show that willingness to do it, at least against Luka. I haven't seen him do that in the past. Now, you know, maybe he'll take the challenge more this year. But Luka's got a much better team now than the Luka they defeated before. So like you mentioned, the Gafford pickup, the Washington pickup. Kyrie is playing out of his mind. Finally, Luka's got somebody he can trust. Yeah, so when the push comes to shove, I'm going to have to go with the Mavericks, unless we see vintage Kyrie, which we could. I hope he's healthy, because I want to see a great series.
And vintage Kawhi.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, vintage Kawhi. Yeah, I hope he's healthy, because I want to see a great series. And just for his sake, I want him to be healthy. And I don't want the Clippers to have an excuse. If Kawhi is healthy and we see vintage Kawhi, I would give them a slight edge because they got game 7 at home. But if we get an 80% Kawhi, then I'll go with Dallas.
You've got to make Dallas pay on the defensive end in regards to the backcourt. You know, I understand, you know, Luka and Kyrie, they're going to get off. They're going to get theirs. They're going to get their probably 70 points combined. But you have to make them pay on the defensive end. Paul George, I think, is the key. I think playoff P, as he remembered the years that he called himself playoff P and didn't get it done, he has to show up. He has to give you 25 to 30. And then, like you said, James Harden, has to go ahead and make them pay on that end as well. So yeah, I think the key for the Clippers is them making the Mavericks pay along that perimeter and seeing, making sure they can go ahead and get theirs. So yeah, Kawhi is a key. Kawhi has got to be able to be Kawhi, but right now that's too much of an iffy factor for me. So I'm going with you. And I know one of our regular viewers, Frank, who is a Mavericks fan, would love to hear the fact that Mavericks, I think I'm picking them as well to go to advance in this series.
Yeah, it should be a great series, and extra motivation for whoever wins that series is they're probably looking at it and it's like, hey, we win this, we're in the conference final. Because mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, whoever, both teams feel like they can take care of OKC. So, you know, they got a path to get straight to conference final if they could, if they can win this series. So,
excellent point. Excellent point indeed.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com.
Once again, it is L. Rob. Great part of what we do here at the Lakers Fast Break. It is Lakers weekend. Hopefully this will be a great Lakers weekend with a victory over the Nuggets in game one of the series starting tomorrow. Our coverage hopefully will start around noon, 12:30 with the LakerHolics, but that has not been confirmed. But it will be a pregame and, of course, during the game with playback.tv/LakersFastBreak and postgame with me, Gerald Glassford. Joe is going to be busy for tonight and tomorrow, so his availability is in question. So I'm not promising a nightcap for tomorrow, but I'm hoping.
Come on, Joe.
Yeah, we'll see. He was watching earlier, so we'll see if he can be available. He will be in transit, so safe travels to him indeed. But for the East, my friend, it will be, of course, tonight here in just a few minutes. It will be the 76ers and the Heat. I'm sorry, not this basically. The Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat. Miami Heat, my friend, when it comes right down to it, their hopes ended with playoff Jimmy and the MRI sprain, which was really sad to see. I still think that they have enough to get by the Chicago Bulls because I feel bad for Andre Drummond because it seems like he's been playing good defense for the other team. Like when he blocked, got in the way of that slam dunk. And then the other day when he took out Alex Caruso, who was going to try to gut it out. So I feel bad for Andre because he's actually had a decent season, but I still think that Miami is going to get it done. What hurts me, L. Rob, every time I see a Miami Heat game is Jaime Jaquez Jr. Yes, he did make some crucial mistakes down the stretch, and that's rookie mistakes indeed. But the fact that he's playing in crunch time for a guy that we could have drafted, that really just, it just hurts me. It's like a wound that just is not healing, my friend. It just keeps on reigniting some pain there. It just irritates me. And the fact we saw earlier this week, Brandon Pomziemski, Trayce Jackson-Davis played minutes for Golden State in their play-in game. Yeah, that just irks me just a little. But be that as it may, who do you have in tonight's play-in matchup for tonight?
Yeah, the Bulls clearly with no Duncan Robinson, no Jimmy, no Terry Rozier. The Bulls clearly have the more talented team, but the Heat is just connected. I mean, and we're talking about one game. We're not talking about a series. So one game at home, can they put the team together by duct tape and go out there and win against the Bulls team? Probably so. I would probably have to go with Miami just because of Heat culture, I guess. I'm gonna chalk it up to Heat culture and give them that one. As much as I hate hearing them say that, they've proven that they're worthy of that moniker, and the Bulls haven't done anything to prove otherwise. I think they had them last year. I was rooting so hard for the Bulls, and they had them down, I think, with 2 minutes ago. And I was pretty much, you know, saying, good, the Heat, they're gone. And all of a sudden, you know, I think DeRozan missed free throws. Whatever Chicago need to do to lose the game, they did it.
I wonder what Spoelstra's huddle, the timeout, his conversation then. Okay, guys, we're down 2 minutes to go. Let's take this all the way down. Let's get to the NBA Finals. I wonder if that was his job. No, I'm just kidding. But whoever gets there between the Bulls and the Heat, do you see either of those teams taking a game from the Boston Celtics?
The Bulls, yes. I can see the Bulls taking. I mean, yeah, the Bulls can beat Boston. And Boston will let up one game. They'll have a concentration lap and let the Bulls get one. The Heat, they'll be focused on destroying them. So if the Heat advance, and this is the shame of the, you know, you got a compromised Embiid, you got Joker hurting, you got Randall, all these guys in the East are hurting. I mean, Boston basically looks like they're going to get a pretty free ride to the finals. First round, you know, with Jimmy, with, you know, with Miami having all their guys, that would have been interesting to see how they would have reacted under pressure.
Obviously, your dog might feel otherwise.
The dog agrees. He said, that's a dog. The East is full of dogs.
Yes, it is full of dogs, my friend. There are no excuses for Boston. Absolutely no excuses for Boston right now. When it comes right down to it, there is no excuse for Boston. So, again, they should be able to take care of their end. But there are other matchups in the East that I want to go ahead and touch on right here before we head on out. And Cleveland-Orlando. Cleveland is the much criticized Cleveland Cavaliers for tanking their last game to get the position that they're in. I know I talked to my good friend from Orlando Magic Daily, Alfred Esmond. That dog. So he's just barking up a storm on this. He's sharing his thoughts in the NBA playoffs.
But you like the East.
Yes. I will tell you, though, my friend, that Orlando, I don't think you should underestimate them in this series. I know that Cleveland, again, they targeted losing that final game so they could avoid that early matchup against Boston. Your thoughts, so that they could avoid that early matchup against Joel Embiid, excuse me. They now have a second round matchup waiting for them with the Boston Celtics, most likely. Your thoughts on Cleveland and Orlando? I think this will be more competitive than a lot of people are letting on.
No, this is going to be seven. This is, you know, Cleveland's, Orlando's defense is no joke. You know, they got a lot of good defenders. They're very well connected team. You know, I just couldn't pick them just because they haven't been there before. And it's kind of hard to see them first time in taking care of it and advancing. But their defense is going to keep them in games. Donovan Mitchell is very streaky. Cleveland is a, you know, him and Garland is kind of my turn, your turn,
yeah,
type of deal. Don't seem like all of the pieces together, they should be better. Now, they had injuries and a lot of things that went into that. But all in all, I think they've kind of had a disappointing season. But if they can't beat a wet behind the ears Orlando Magic team, then boy, that does not bode well for them. And Donovan definitely is going to be out the door. But I'm going with Cleveland. Just a little too much firepower and experience, and Orlando struggles to score a little too much. That's why I would go with Cleveland.
I'm just going to say this, if Cleveland does not win the series, Bickerstaff is gone. I'm going to tell you that right now. And they will probably trade Allen or Mobley, because Mobley has not turned out or blossomed into the player that they hoped he has. He's been okay, but they didn't get him that high to just be okay.
Yeah.
And I know him and Allen play okay with each other, but there's an extent, there's a ceiling to where those two play with each other.
Do you think they're using Mobley the right way? I mean, Allen's been consistent. I think you know what you're going to get from Allen. He's played to his potential. But like you say, Mobley hasn't. So do you put that more on the player? Or is it a combination of the coaches not putting him in a position to be successful? Or, you know, his teammates, you know, most of those guys are shoot first guys. And, you know,
I think it's a mixture of both. I think it's a mixture of both. But you're right. Mobley is not a aggressive player. He does not have that mindset of Mitchell, of even a Garland, you know, because those are shoot first guys. Garland, you know, he's supposed to be a playmaker and a point guard for you, but he has a shoot first mentality as well. So those guys take the bulk of the shots. Mobley does not ask or want. He is not a demanding personality out there on the court. So he's very, I don't want to say passive, but yeah, you could say passive because he just allows so much to happen. And doing so, it makes him less effective out there. And I think the dynamic with him and Allen, again, as I said, only has a ceiling where they can go so high, I think, in the current state that they're in. And part of that is the coaching staff not reinforcing to Mobley all these years that he can and should be a more dominant player. But at this point, it may be he is what he is with Mobley. And that might be a shame because I think there could have been a lot more.
I agree.
So, again, I think that when it comes to Orlando, though, creating and manufacturing offense is a key for them. No one questions their defense. Jonathan Isaac coming off the bench for them has been, great to see him after such horrific knee injuries. Jalen Suggs has now become the player I championed on this show when he was coming out of the draft. I was looking like I had egg all over my face the past two seasons, but he's finally becoming the player that I thought he was defensively. Absolutely. I think he's a winner. I think the word I used for him was a winner, that he plays winning basketball. And I think that you're starting to see that now. Franz Wagner, he took a step back, and I was talking to Alfred Esmond. That obviously is an area of concern for the Orlando Magic. I know he sprained his ankle too on top of it. So we'll see what kind of Wagner that you will get. Banchero is a really good player, but is he a number one for a top elite team? And I think you're starting to find that out. Or is he a very good 1A or 2 on a championship level team? I think we're going to find this out here in the coming years. But yeah, Orlando is going to get a taste and experience of what you see with the NBA playoffs. So I think it's going to be a learning message. But for them, the primary thing, L. Rob, I would have, if I'm the coach, Mosley, I would have on there the bulletin board is how Cleveland tanked the final game to face them. I would put that out there, and I would make sure that's embedded in the brains of every single Orlando Magic there.
I agree. If that doesn't get them motivated, nothing will. I agree with you on Suggs. And I think that's a good way to describe Wagner too. Franz, he's a winner. He's going to do all those.
I really wanted his game to keep on elevating.
Yeah, but you know what? I think he came in and was playing so well that maybe we were expecting that natural progression. But, I mean, he's still pretty good. He's really a defensive player first. But he's just a good, really, really good all-around player. But we may have two expectations might have gotten out of control for him because he came in looking so good. So I think, you know, he's still playing good, though. I mean, for where he's at in his career. And he'll get better, but he's just a winner. But he's not your number two guy, you know. If he's your number two guy, you know, I don't know how far you can go. But he's just a really, really good player, smart player. He makes the right plays. That's a really good young team. So this is a good matchup for him. They couldn't ask for a better team probably to match up and beat because Cleveland doesn't play the smartest. And they can be, and you know, the Knicks took it to them. The Knicks just kind of beat them up and bullied them last year. So they have a lot to prove too. So should be an interesting series. I'm again go with the Cavs in seven.
All right. Once again, it is L. Rob, my good friend. Please go ahead and check him out anytime he stops on by here at the Lakers Fast Break. Thank you so much, Blue. Absolutely. Please hit like and subscribe, comment, do whatever you can to go ahead and support us here at the Lakers Fast Break with your thoughts on the NBA playoffs. Even if you're seeing this after the fact, after we go live on the air, go ahead and share some, you know, likes. Go ahead and share it. Go ahead and share some comments and your thoughts on some playoff predictions for the Lakers, the Nuggets, and also the NBA playoffs as well. So want to go ahead and still touch on a couple other series before we head on out, my friend. And that we're going to be the, let's go with the 3-6. We talked about the 3-6 earlier with Minnesota and Phoenix. This one does not have as much intrigue, Elrob, but without or how much you get out of Giannis, Milwaukee and Indiana could prove to be very interesting. At least it should be an offensive spectacle, at the very least. Your thoughts on the series? Again, the question on how much you will have Giannis in this series is very much in question. And I think also the fact is how effective Milwaukee will be in the NBA playoffs is also very much in question without Giannis in that lineup.
Yeah, this is a rare one where you're picking a 16, you know, the sixth seed to upset the three seed, especially a team that's won a championship like the Bucks. But the Bucks just have not looked good. Dame has aged overnight. Giannis is hurting. We don't know what he can bring. Middleton has never regained his game. I can't see any reason why, you know, that you can really hang your hat with the Bucks going into this series. Now we've seen Middleton come in and play great without Giannis, and of course Portis to me is the one constant. You know what you're going to get. You're going to get great effort from him, and he usually puts up big numbers when Giannis is out. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him go for 25 at home, especially. But you know, Indiana's going to be running the whole game, and they don't mind giving up some easy hoops. And their goal is to get out and see if they can score 140. And I don't think Milwaukee can keep up the scoring with them. Unless Milwaukee, you know, just really walks the ball up and really plays a slow game, methodical. Then maybe they can hang with them until Giannis gets back. But even with Giannis, you know, that's a tough matchup. They played very well against Milwaukee, even with Giannis this season. So I'm picking the Pacers.
You are? Okay.
The Pacers. Yep. I mean, we've seen Beasley, right? We've seen Malik Beasley in the playoffs, and it wasn't pretty. Now, this might be his kind of series where he gets a bunch of wide open threes and it's up and down and he can get hot and maybe he can take a game for him. But I like Indiana's system and their ability to execute their system better than I do Milwaukee's ability to. And I don't even know if Milwaukee knows what system they're doing right now. I don't know what they're hanging their hat on right now. At least the Pacers has an identity. You know what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Even though it is Doc Rivers, hopefully his team won't go up 3-1 because Indiana will have them right where he wants when they want them. So, but all kidding aside, I still think there's one last gasp for Damian Lillard, despite what you have with Giannis. I think he will go off. I think he's got to average 30 plus, and I think that's what you're going to get from him. I'm not convinced Indiana's defense, which has been a trouble spot for them all year, is going to be good enough. So I am picking Milwaukee to go ahead and do it. I don't think it'll go 7. I think it'll go 6, but I think Milwaukee will win on the road on it for 6. So
what if Giannis missed the first 3 or 4 games? You still going with the Bucks?
I still think so, because I don't think they'll, you know, that they'll find a way to effectively guard Damian Lillard. I just think that Damian Lillard has one last gasp left. I want to see it happen. I'm not convinced about Doc Rivers either. This is not the most solid of picks for me, but I just think Lillard giving him the window to just chuck it and just score, I think he is the best player still out there, even above Halliburton, because Halliburton has not come back as strong since he had that hamstring injury. So I'm not convinced Indiana has enough defensive prowess to be able to find a way to figure out Damian Lillard. And I think that Milwaukee can manufacture enough points without Giannis to get by Indiana. I don't think they can get by anybody else without Giannis, but I think they can get by Indiana.
Yeah, and I think Giannis will be back before the series is over. So he'll probably miss the first, at least the first two. But I just, Milwaukee's so slow, though, with Middleton and Jay Crowder. And so Indiana will have a quickness advantage, and they'll be running. You know, so it'll be interesting if they can keep their tempo up that they play with in the regular season. If they can carry that tempo over in the playoffs. Usually a lot of run and gun teams haven't been able to. It'll be interesting to see if they can impose their will on the Bucks, or if the Bucks can slow the game down and kind of beat them up a little bit. So, and then, yeah, it's hard. Giannis has proven that he's a great player in crunch time. I guess I'm just going by how he's looked this season, and it hasn't been great, but we know his track record. So he could explode and carry them to victory. But
we'll see, my friend. We'll see. But once again, it is L Rob. And before we head on out, my friend, want to go ahead. This is going to be a slugfest. This is going to take you back to the 1990s. This is going to be something I think that you will see. If you are a fan of old school basketball, the 2-7 matchup between the Knicks and the 76ers, my friend, that is going to be something where it should be one of my favorite wrestling announcers of all time, JR, who always says, Jim Ross, it's going to be a slobber knocker. So with that in mind, my friend, you have Joel Embiid, who has, I don't know, I don't want to say he's healthy because he kind of had some issues still there, even in the game against Miami, going up against the New York Knicks, who do not have Julius Randle, but they do have Jalen Brunson. And if you're Philadelphia, you got to figure out number one, how to stop him, because as a collective unit, Tibbs has got these guys playing as well as they can be playing. Your thoughts with the Knicks, the MSG series, my friend, this is going to be a revisit to the 1990s as the Knicks and the 76ers face off, my friend. Who do you got?
Whew. Now that is going to be a series. That one is similar to Dallas and the Clippers, as far as it's really hard to separate them. Just based on Embiid's not being back, if he can work himself back toward game 5, 6, and 7, I can see Philadelphia beating them. Because I think the thing with Tibbs teams are they play at such a high level all season. Mm-hmm. They can't go up another notch. They're playing they're maxing they're squeezing everything out of that team. It's hard. That one is a really, really, really tough one. I mean, those are the two teams in the East I like. I wish Boston would have to play both of them to get to the finals, but unfortunately, they probably only have to play one of them. I would probably have to go with the Knicks. I trust Brunson a little bit more in the closing minutes, and that's usually what these type of games come down to. A couple possessions at the end, and I trust Brunson a little bit more than I do Embiid and the Sixers.
I'm going with the Knicks train as well. I think the Knicks have played extremely well. I think they're playing with a lot of confidence. And despite not having Julius Randle, actually, maybe not having Julius Randle, dare I say this, may be a good thing for them because of the style that he plays. He can take your own team out of a game with a couple charges, and that he gets is offensive fouls and things that he does when he's on, he can really be good for you. But the thing is, when he's off, as we've seen, he can really take a team out of the game, taking a lot of unnecessary shots, things of that nature. Doesn't give you a whole lot on the defensive end. Yeah, so maybe Julius Randle not being in the lineup, maybe a little bit in some small way, Elrod, a benefit for the Knicks?
Yeah, well, you know, last time we seen Julius in the playoffs last year, he was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, bad to the point where you felt sorry for him. It's like, come on, Julius, you know, you're better than that. And he just couldn't do anything right. So I was kind of looking forward to seeing him redeem himself this year. But yeah, I don't know. You always want a player like Julius. They were playing really good with Julius. So I think they would be even better and definitely have a better chance of beating Boston and getting to the finals if they had Randle. But I mean, both of us are still picking them. So they got enough. They, you know, with Bogdanović now, what they picked up from the Pistons, if he can give them some, they'll need him to score because the Knicks do lack shooting at times. So if he can come off the bench and give them 12 points and give them a boost in a couple games, then I think that'll help them get over the hump. This is a really good series, though. I like Maxey. How can you not root for Batum? He's just one of those smart players. He's just a winner. I want to see Joel come up big in the playoffs. He struggled. So I kind of like both teams, but yeah, I'm still going with the Knicks. Knicks have home court, game 7 in the Garden. It's going to be nuts. And Brunson is tough to stop.
That he is, my friend. But before we head on out, I wanted to get some final thoughts from you because I appreciate all the time that you've given us today in regards to the Lakers and the Nuggets. So, my friend, when it comes down to it, it starts tomorrow, the Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. Any final thoughts on this series before we head on out?
Well, the worst thing is, I think so far ahead, you know, we always got an eye on Boston, that Denver is the best team, and it's a team that I think could take out the Celtics. So, of course I want the Lakers to win. I'm predicting them to win, but I would hate to see them take out the Celtics and then they don't make it, and then Boston, you know, gets number 18. But yeah, I'm going with the Lakers. It's purely a homer call. All stats, logic points to Denver. And usually when you have the best player in his prime, you have a better coach, you have a unit that's been together long, they've proven they can win together. It's kind of hard to go against the champs, but I like the Lakers. The Lakers are playing good. And I think that LeBron is due for one last a shot of glory, and beating the Nuggets, taking the champs down when everyone says it can't happen, could be it.
Well, my friend, like I said before, if the Lakers can keep it to 6 with a chance to win the series at home in game 6, I definitely think that we have a chance. But the R Bruin says, I'm sorry, we have to be real. Again, everybody's
don't bring reality into this now.
Again, if the Lakers do get to game 6 and they're leading 3-2, you never know. But if it
What's
goes
your back, prediction, though, Gerald, what is your prediction?
I say
the Nuggets, get you on record.
The Nuggets in 7. I'm just being realistic, like the R Bruin says. But you know, if the Lakers do get it to a 3-2 heading into game 6, then the Lakers definitely have a chance, but they will not win a game 7 on the floor in Denver. I just don't think that. I think that's asking a lot, because you probably will have already stolen to get to game 7, Elrod. They probably would have already had to, well, they would have had already stolen one in Denver, and asking to win twice in Denver.
Not necessarily. It could be a home court.
Yeah, it could be a home sweep. Yeah, but I'm assuming that it will go both ways, where Denver will take one, the Lakers will take one, and winning twice in Denver, I think at that point in time would be that's a tall order, my friend. But we'll see. Again, I'm rooting for the Lakers, as all of us are. So appreciate your insight. You let me know your schedule, my friend, because you're always welcome on the show anytime. I still send you out the emails. I know you're all busy, but if you ever want to go ahead and stop on by, you just let me know, my friend, because you're always
will do. I enjoyed it. The playoffs are here, people. Let's enjoy the greatest athletes in the world on the biggest stage. Like Walt Frazier once said, you make your name in the regular season, but you make your fame in the postseason. So I think Jamal Murray kind of borrowed that. I don't know. He said something similar the other night. So yeah, this is the time when the stars come out. So somebody's going to make a name for themselves. Somebody's going to show out.
That they are indeed. But once again, it is L. Rob. Truly appreciate you stopping by. Got to get you back with the Lakerholics. See if you could go ahead and match up with those guys. I know that Laker Tom would love to have you back on. I'm not 100% certain out there, everyone, if they will do a Lakerholics tomorrow. Right now, they're trying to target noon, but I haven't gotten confirmation yet from Jamie Sweet. But what I can confirm for you guys out there is that we will be on with a pregame about 5:15, the game on at 5:30 with playback.tv / Lakers Fast Break, and a post game is what I can guarantee you for tomorrow, the Lakers and the Nuggets. Whether or not we get Joe for a nightcap, again, we'll have to wait and see as well. But L. Rob, always great to have you here, my friend, talking basketball with me. Any last thoughts, my friend, before we head on out?
No, it's always a pleasure to chop it up with you, Gerald. So looking forward to the games tonight and over the weekend. Let's see if the Lakers can get game one and plant the flag and say, hey, we're here.
You got it, my friend. Looking forward to a great series. Looking forward to a great Lakers weekend with you and with everyone out there right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.